Looks like goddamn Mario Kart. Checkered everything.
There's something on that car.
The hang.
Daddy's home.
What the shit? Race control.
Right. One more car and I'm taking it out of your ass.
I'ma take this track and make it my bitch.
Did you know that races are won and lost in the pits?
I did not know that.
Did you not?
The IMS is the best there ever was.
Daddy doesn't do road courses.
Daddy only does ovals.
We certainly don't take ourselves that seriously, so you shouldn't.
Welcome to Fast Cars, Fast Girls with Abby and Molly.
It's season 2, episode 39. What do you say? Let's warm up the tires.
Let's do it. So today we've got some news.
News is one word.
Yes.
Snooze.
Yes. We've got our woman of the week. We've got our Born Racer review.
Finally. I think it has been a month since we first saw it.
It has been.
About.
So we've given you all ample time to see it yourselves. So spoilers will be included. So
don't at us.
Yeah.
Because we don't care.
We don't.
Nope, not a bit.
And then lastly, one of our favorites, Shit We Didn't Make Up.
I think it's an appropriate Shit We Didn't Make Up.
I think so too.
Yeah. Oh, and we've got a listener question we're going to tag on at the end.
We sure do.
So that's there too.
All right, so news.
Oh boy.
Well, let's start with the good news.
Let's start with the good news, sure.
So Michael Shank Racing, who we love.
Yeah, already. Yeah.
Already.
Before this.
Before this, yeah. Had an all-female team announcement.
Mm-hmm. It is Jackie Heinricher, Catherine Legg,
yep.
Simona Di Silvestra, and Bea, oh, I cannot pronounce her name, but it's actually Anna Beatrice.
Yes.
Because apparently in wherever Anna is from, there's like some famous actress with the same name.
There is, actually. So and she actually goes by Bea because it's Anna Beatrice, like that's her first and middle name. Mm-hmm. And so her nickname is Bea.
Yeah.
Like Beatrice. And then the last two are family names because
that's how they do things.
Spanish speaking. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Portuguese speaking countries.
And
do
I was
that.
Like, I'm not gonna mispronounce her name.
Yeah, what is her?
I actually can't read my handwriting. It looks like it's
Fierro.
Yeah. Because there's like an R and an E and a D and the O, but my handwriting ran together
Bea Fierro.
There you go. Perfect.
I'm like, because I know I read that earlier this week.
Sponsored by Caterpillar.
Love it.
Which I somebody had the mock-up of the livery for the car and I was like, oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm here. Also Catherine Legg, Cat Legg, Caterpillar, Cat.
Well, and Caterpillar provides, construction equipment, which is such a very male dominated thing. And so for them to be a sponsor of an all women's team, I love it.
I know. It is amazing.
I love it.
So all four of them will be driving during the Daytona in 2019. All of them, except for Simona, will be handling the rest of the World Endurance Championship, and they're hoping to do Le Mans.
Excellent.
So I was like, oh shit.
That's awesome.
How can we get to Le Mans?
Right?
Because I
want the sponsors to go to Le Mans?
Like, I want to go anyway, but this is one of those moments where we need to go. So
mm-hmm.
I take
so
this.
So if you've got disposable income.
And want to help us go to Le Mans.
You just let us know.
Please.
We will happily, we'll even interview you.
Yeah.
Okay. You throw enough money at us, you can get an interview on the show.
That's a level of our non-existent Patreon. We will interview you.
We sure will. Oh, all right. Now to the bullshit news.
That happened literally a day before the Michael Shank Racing announcement. Like, the timing, I feel like MSR was like, okay, but hold my beer.
Yeah.
Like, it was a hold my beer moment.
It totally was. He was like, oh, let me show you how you actually support female racers.
Let me show you something about you that you don't know. That's what happened.
So the W Series, which is the series that Pippa Mann had spoken out about a little over a year ago,
last summer, it was about June.
Yeah. Sorry. And, you know, the series hadn't been named and there were some names that, you know, she wouldn't even mention because they were so patronizing. And anyhow, and she let God and everybody know that she was displeased with the suggestion and a lot of us agreed with her.
Yeah.
And they went ahead and did it anyway.
because there was that time. It cropped up momentarily again.
And then kind of
But then it went back down. Because like a few months ago, we were like, good, we've not heard anything. Like, heh. So.
But yep, they now did we it. Do. So.
The W series. Which,
the W series.
What is this, like the WCW or something? Isn't that the, what's the, there's like a TV channel that used to be the W.
Oh.
And it had like, I don't remember it. And I don't have cable anymore, so it's a lot harder.
It was like more ridiculous than Lifetime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Really, Mr. Gandalf.
So, it was the Oxygen Channel, was that it?
No, it really was the W.
The W something?
The CW. I'm sorry, it's the CW.
Oh, well, that's not.
It's not ridiculous, but it just reminds me of a TV channel when you gotcha. Call it like the W series.
The W series, yeah. Well, it just...
I mean, it's max of W... All right, let's start with the facts. So, it's a... Open seating, so it's an open seat racing, single seat, I'm sorry, open wheel racing.
Yes.
All female. Apparently it's, quote, free to enter. Okay. Yeah. Sure. 18 members right now that it's considered a support series for DTM, only mm-hmm. in Europe.
Yeah.
Winner, so the pot is, I believe, 1.5 million, and the winner... of the championship will get 500,000
of the whole championship
of the whole championship, by the way. And then everybody else gets a cut.
I just want to remind everybody that James Davison, who was first out in the Indianapolis 500 on lap 7, his pot was over $330,000.
So
their championship money for the entire season, mm-hmm. $500,000, which is great because that's not enough to finance a career anywhere.
So if you win the shootout to get into, I double checked these numbers because I was like, the fuck does our series do? Our ladder series. You win the shootout, $200,000. You win USF 2000, get $325,000. That's the year end award. That's not counting the money that you get winning races. And there's like auxiliary awards that you can also pick up. This is just that Absolutely. Scholarship amount.
Yeah.
So that's the USF 2000 to then turn around and fund your Pro Mazda. You win at Pro Mazda, it's $790,000. So yep. you're already over their yeah. paltry amount. And then, of course, Indy Lights is $1 million. And that's three races, including the 500.
Yep.
So, yeah, $500,000 for...
And no guaranteed races anywhere else.
Yeah, like nobody's saying that this will then leverage you into something else like the Road to Indy does. I'm assuming, I'm not sure, but like the NASCAR ladder also does a similar thing. Mm-hmm. Formula ladder seems to feel that way, but they've got like 14 extra steps.
They do, yeah, they have they're a lot like, of extra I things. Don't know. Which, it's funny that they're technically a feeder series for DTM because they keep advertising that this is a way to get... women into F1.
Well, and DTM isn't an open wheel racing series. That's what kills me is I'm sure that all open wheel racing just went, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say that for certainty, but if they're like.
So yeah. here's mm-hmm. here's the only thing that makes sense to me about this, because it's all bass awkward.
Oh, yeah.
You're feeding into a series. You're an open wheel series that feeds into a non-open wheel series. Actual open wheel series think you're bullshit. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want anybody who gets special treatment. And the women in those series don't want special treatment.
Yeah.
Okay? That it's one of the few areas where you can actually compete equally regardless mm-hmm. of your gender. And we like it that way.
Yeah.
All of us. Yeah. Men, women, racers, spectators. We fucking love it that way. So actual open wheel series...
You're fine.
Calling bullshit. And all of this, that it makes no sense, and it's just mm-hmm. a bad idea. What makes sense about it is this was Bernie Ecclestone's love child for female yeah. racers. So the fact that it actually works against you trying to get into a real series is because Bernie's behind this.
Yeah, 100%.
He doesn't want to see women succeed. That man mm-hmm. is a fucking misogynist.
Oh my God, yes.
If I met him, I would spit in his face. Yeah.
Openly.
Openly.
Knowing that it was a battery, I would spit in his face.
Yeah.
Yes.
In front of cameras.
Yeah. There would be a, I mean, first of all, if I'm going to go big.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a record.
Well, damn right. Better video it. But, ugh. Yeah. All right.
We're all angry and just hitting our microphones.
I know. Any more facts?
Those were the only facts about it. Obviously, a lot of people have discussed it. Mm-hmm. Rob Howden had a very good article that we retweeted talking about how if you want to do this, start at the karting level.
Exactly.
And he, I mean, read it.
Excellent article.
It's an excellent article. He really broke it down. Like, this is where the disparity is starting to happen. Is like, that beginning level? Like,
it starts young. Yeah. And it only goes down from there. And so, you know, there aren't more women in racing because they don't start in racing, because we're not encouraging young girls to go into that.
Yeah.
We're reaching a point where we're encouraging, you know, girls and young women to, you know, go into STEM and all that business. And that needs to extend into the racing world because it really falls under the same, you know, branch, because all of those things in STEM, I mean, factor into racing. Your cat is being ridiculous.
I know. It's so funny.
He's sitting in my lap like I'm Marlon Brando in The Godfather.
It is. Like, I'm going to just... We're going to have to tweet this out.
Yeah.
We're going to... You're fine. I like that my cat posed, too. He's like Norman.
He did. Well done. Well done, Gandalf.
Anyway. Back to this.
Back to...
I mean, so... I was thinking almost something like what really needs to happen is there needs to be almost like this mentorship of people who are women who are really.
I think there's an organization that's supposed to be doing that, but they're not.
Well, there's a few things that are happening. So Formula One actually has like a women's program. They just did their first kind of weekend. And so it brought like 17 or 18 women of different backgrounds together, because I know like Natalie Decker was part of it, Tatiana Calderon, and so like that's NASCAR and Formula One. Well, to put them all together, I think that's a good idea, because it's almost like creating an alliance.
Yeah.
And that's part of how women will be better.
Yeah.
Because sure, the sport is open and allows women to come in, but it's still kind of a men's sport. You need those women there to be like, yeah, this happened. I mean, like, that's cool. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. No. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely a difference being a female racer than a male racer. But there's not, I mean, blatant sexism.
No.
You know, it's not, it's a lot easier now to be in racing as a woman than it was when Janet Guthrie was running the 500. God,
yeah.
You know, and so, you know, a lot of that has kind of changed. But it's like the mentorship that needs to happen, because, I mean, even male racers have said that it's nice when an older guy takes you under their wing just to kind of show you the ropes and say, hey, you know, don't let them put that in your contract. That's a bad thing. Or, hey, you know, this and that. It's, I mean, yeah, you started any new job, you know, or your first job out of college, you don't know anything. It's nice to have somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing, who can give you a heads up, let you know, hey, this is, you know, this is important. This is not. This is how things actually happen here. And yeah. So, but yeah, they need to start at the karting level. That article is fantastic. And
it was really good.
Yeah. And a mentorship thing, I think, is an excellent. Mentorship,
scholarships for women. I mean,
yeah,
that's part of it.
Well, and there need to be, I wish we had more sponsors and businesses that made a point to say, I want to sponsor a female racer.
Right? Because it happened, like, I'd love for that to happen. You know, people would throw a fucking bitch fit. Sorry, excuse my French, but why are they only supporting women? Da da da. You know what? Look here.
Because it's harder for them to get sponsorship. Because
it's harder for
them
to get sponsorship. And I'm tired of people being cranky when things happen that way.
Yeah.
Because there was something similar for, like, female sports journalists. They're like, you know, we're trying to create an opportunity for a female sports journalist. You know, here's your scholarship. And people are like, well, why can't men apply? Because you guys could get into locker rooms a lot easier than women can. So sit down and shut up.
Yeah, because, like, everybody assumes you know your shit when it comes to sports. I mean, we run into that. We have to know the physics of the car and know everything that happened in the race and be able to defend our point of view to the nth degree, like we designed the track and the car and like we were actually in the pit box. But at the same time, I had to get my nails fucking done the whole month of May so that I looked womanly enough. So
what is it?
Yeah. It's quite the dichotomy that we have to face as women when you're in an area that's mostly men.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We'll see.
I would say, yeah. And I guess that does fall under special treatment, but not in the way of, like, separating us from everybody else.
Right. It's more, it's what, oh God. I can't think of the word. It's been a long day at work, but it's not equality. It's equity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? That's just it. Like, sorry, but if you've had the history that women and minorities have had, then
yeah,
you'd understand, and some you don't, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But shut up.
But on this, we're going to have to politely ask you to shut the fuck up.
To please see yourself out. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. I hope that it actually does give them a leg up and that it's not the bullshit that I think it's going to be.
If it works, I would love that. And women are suddenly coming from this series into other series, I will eat crow and be happy about it.
Yeah.
That's fine. I will be happy about it. I don't think it's going to work. But
I don't think so either. And I don't know who you think is going to watch these races. I mean, I will watch out of curiosity, although part of me doesn't really want to support the series because I think it's bullshit. But yeah. I also do want to support the women who are racing in it. And I also want to echo what Pippa said, which is that just because I think the series is bullshit, I'm not going to shit on anybody who's in the series because that might be their only financial option.
I don't know your background. If this is what you have to do it, then, you know.
It's the same reason I don't shit on grid girls like a lot of strong women do. And it's because, listen, if that's what you want to do, like live your life. However you want to earn your paycheck, that's up to you.
Yeah.
It's not for me to tell you what to do. No. So anyhow, we'll be clear about that. But yeah, if it actually
works,
fantastic. But like I'll watch it, you know, out of curiosity. But have you seen the disparity in the numbers between the NBA and the WNBA? Who in the actual fuck do you think is going to watch this series?
Well, first of all,
unless you make it a sideshow, which is also another stellar option that you're what? Like how they have the skimpy cheerleaders at the WNBA games. Really?
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 But really.
And again, nothing against cheerleaders. They're fantastic athletes.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. And if I had those bodies, I dress like that too. Right? So, I mean, no judgment.
Can I do a flip? No.
But you're doing it to get fans to come because you don't actually think the sport stands on its own.
It will be interesting to see.
I hope it doesn't devolve into what like type a sideshow, freak show kind of.
Yeah. It's in Europe right now. They're thinking if it survives into the next season or two, they'd like to have races in America. So we'll see.
Okay.
Okay. But I don't know.
I hate that it's true, but I don't believe that Americans are very pro all female sports.
No. No.
I mean, I think that that's...
I mean...
Yeah.
Exhibit A, the WNBA.
The WNBA, like, which has amazing athletes in it.
Like, they are amazing people. I mean, because I'll watch a FIBA game every now and then, but let's be real, most people are going to watch the NBA over the WNBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure that this series is, given the scheduling, going to conflict with all the other schedule or all the other series. So,
yeah,
it's not.
I mean, we have a lot of races here in the States.
Yeah. Like, OK, but when are you going to?
Yeah. When are you going to have these races? And what's your target demographic? Is it going to be fellow open wheel fans? Like,
I would not bring it on.
Yeah. Very interesting. So
I'm just gonna mutter darkly about that for a minute.
That's fine. So we'll keep you posted as more information comes out, and
we'll see what happens. I guess.
Yeah, we will wait and see, and we will very publicly eat crow.
Yeah,
if we're wrong.
I don't mind.
Nope, we'll do it. We'll admit when we're wrong.
Hey, it's easy for me to admit when I'm wrong. That's my answer to everything. Who won the 19? You know, 45 Indianapolis 500. Yeah. I don't know. Not important, but we get asked that question sometimes.
We do.
But anyway.
I'm not Google.
Right? Google it.
Right. I'm not Donald Davidson. B, I'm not Google.
I've interviewed the man. He's adorable, but I am not him.
No, I'm not.
At all.
All right. Well, let's run through our motorsports pit stop.
All right. I'll do NASCAR because I had to write the standings down earlier today because it was not up last night.
Gotcha.
So NASCAR, they were at Talladega 2, Electric Boogaloo. No,
they were, which by the way, Talladega Motor Speedway, check out their Twitter because this afternoon has been nothing but hilarity.
Oh, we they have been the shit.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw that you'd gotten it from ours, so I did it for my personal.
It's great.
They have been tweeting photos of all the things left in the infield camping. And oh my God, they start out with a couch.
Which,
there's a.
I mean, can we really judge the
couch? No. Well, although that was like a sectional, like a leather sectional.
Hey, guys, if you're listening, when we go to Daytona, they had a sectional there. So I feel like we got to step it up next year.
Yeah. Like, it looks like part of it reclined.
I want a day bed next year. Can I Craigslist and find it? No, don't bring a day bed.
No. But yeah, and then there was just a random mattress on the ground.
Yeah.
With some like leftover food and like muffins and like hamburger buns and shit that somebody just left. And then my favorite was a collection of bedding. Yes. And it was like bedding set, lightly used, nice pattern.
I don't think lightly used would be the term I would choose, but it's been fantastic.
But way to go, Talladega like, Motor
Speedway. That's what you do.
Because that was hysterical.
That was. So speaking of Talladega, Eric with an A, Amarola in the Ford won. That's his first NASCAR race.
All
right. Clint Bowyer came in second and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in third. So currently the standings are Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Logano. They are at Kansas 2 next week. And Casey Kane, who won the Brickyard last year, he retired. He was going to retire at the end of the season, but I guess he's been having issues with dehydration and like weird body temperature issues. So he just like stopped.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and if you remember, he really suffered from dehydration after last year's Brickyard because it was 8 hours in length.
Yeah, the longest Brickyard on record.
And
one of the hottest.
Yeah. And I think ever since then, maybe not ever since then, but he's been really suffering with dehydration and whatnot. Interesting. And so,
well, and you know, if he had like an acute kidney injury, like once you're, I mean, you can have something that damages your kidneys to the point that they're more sensitive. And so, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so.
Well, I always liked Casey Kane.
Yeah, he was nice.
I like that name. That was one of the few, actually, I bought a Casey Kane hoodie, or a sweatshirt. It wasn't a hoodie, but a sweatshirt, the first Brickyard race I went to.
Yeah.
It was right after Talladega Nights came out, and there was a free ticket, so I got a Talladega Nights shirt, because they had a holler there.
Yeah.
So I have a shirt that says, I want to go fast.
Obviously.
Naturally. And then I bought a Casey Kane shirt.
Because...
Well, because it was black and red, and he drove a Dodge at the time, so it has the Dodge symbol.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I'm a big Chrysler Dodge fan.
Yeah.
And my Uncle Phil's wife, Vicky, knows his family, actually. So I was like, oh, Casey Kane. I was like, and I like that sweatshirt. I'll take it. I was like, somebody I know knows you. I'll take it.
So that's NASCAR Formula One. We had no race this past weekend. We are heading into the U.S. Grand Prix in COTA.
All right.
So that'll be interesting. I might take a peek at it just to see how COTA goes.
Yeah.
Formula One. There's a possibility that they could, somehow mathematically, I don't know where he would place, but Lewis Hamilton can actually clinch the championship.
Interesting.
So we'll see. We won't see.
We will or we won't. One of the two.
Yeah.
NHRA, the Carolina Nationals.
I mean, I feel like that's just an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Steve Torrance won in Top Fuel. And spoiler alert, he's also the leader in the Top Fuel right now.
Yeah.
Ron Capps won in Funny Car. And Jason Lyne won in Pro Stock. Leader in Funny Car is currently Robert Height. And the leader in Pro Stock is currently Tanner Gray.
Yeah.
Their next race, the Toyota Nationals. October 28th. Where are they?
I didn't write that down. Toyota.
They could be anywhere.
They are in Toyota.
Doubt it.
No, I don't think that's a real place. No. I don't know. It's just called the Toyota National.
I don't know. Maybe it's a place in Japan. I don't know.
I don't know the
NHRA. I don't know where the name of that car came from.
I think it is. I don't know.
It could be.
It sounds
like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Japanese name. Could be.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. All right. IMSA, we have the Petit Le Mans.
Yep, down in Atlanta.
Road Atlanta.
Everybody else we knew went there. Not us.
Not us.
We did not go.
I did not. In fact, I had a weekend off. I had the house to myself.
Oh, very nice.
And I enjoyed doing not much of anything. I really got to recharge. It was very nice.
Good.
Felt like a new person.
Okay.
I did.
Yeah.
You got a new couch.
I did get it. Well, it's a new old couch.
I mean, new to
you.
It's
new to me. Well, not really, because I've spent many a night sleeping on that too. True. But I got a couch. Another couch.
Good weekend for you.
Yeah, cats really enjoy it.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, the results. All right. DPI.
Daytona Prototype.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm like, you can't put initials in here without a key for me.
Well, that's the IMSA stuff. You go to a few IMSAs?
I know, but I don't know all of them. Okay, so the Daytona Prototype.
Yes.
All right. So the winner was Cadillac, mm-hmm. Jay Taylor, RHR, and Vanderzond.
RHRR. Woo! Right.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, he's having quite the year.
He's kind of a sneaky sneak.
Yeah, he's like, having...
you don't think about Ryan Hunter Ray and then, surprise, Ryan.
Right?
Unless his kids are FaceTiming him and then they hang up on him.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is still funny to me.
That was nice. He was like, okay, I guess we're done.
Which was hilarious.
Oh. He was like, I'm sorry. I was like, we're like, no, go ahead and take it from your kids. That's adorable.
It's kind of a big deal. And he was like, hey, nope, okay.
All right. Let's see.
The Mazda DPI was second and third, but the third Mazda had...
Spencer Pigott.
Yes.
And we retweeted a fantastic photo of his teammates when they realized that their car was coming in third.
Yeah.
So.
It was really nice.
Yeah. Get it, Pigott.
Oh, I like that.
Right?
Ooh. Somebody should put that on a shirt. Hey, Ed, put that on a shirt. Get it, Pigott.
Get it, Pigott.
Get it, Pigott. Oh, my God. We're making signs for Daytona if he shows up.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he at Daytona last year?
He was, so I'm sure he'll be there.
Oh, yeah. Get it, Pigott.
Get it, Pigott. I'm just going to start yelling at whenever I see him.
You know what? We shouldn't, but we'll teach Doug that. And yes. Then...
Yeah. I like that you said we'll teach him that like he's a dog.
If he's drunk, sometimes it takes some positive reinforcement, some repetition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can make this happen. He'll yell it at Daytona for us. And at every IndyCar race.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, the Penske boys.
Yeah.
Not as great.
Yeah. Castroneves, R. Taylor, and Ray Hall, they came in fifth.
Yeah.
And then Montoya... Cameron and Pagano, they were 32nd overall.
Yeah, that's not... I didn't really look into that. I'm sure they just didn't do well.
Yeah.
Let's see. Gabby Chavez was also driving. He was part of the Cadillac DPI. They came in 8th, but they did clinch overall winner of the whole IMSA series. So.
Well, that's awesome.
That's nice for Gabby.
That really is.
To be a part of something.
Since
we don't know what exactly is going on with Gabby.
I don't even know that Gabby knows what's going on. But he's flying drones under the handle Cannonball. So it's a call sign.
Cannonball Chavez.
Cannonball Chavez. All right. And then let's see. Dixon was in the Ford GT.
Mm-hmm.
They were 16th overall. And then Bourdais was in a Ford GT. And his team was 18th overall.
Yeah. Kind of always like to...
Feature our IndyCar guys.
IndyCars. Yep. I think I only went so far down and then I was like, I'm done. I don't need to look up anymore.
No, it's like that's enough.
That's enough.
That's enough.
I don't think anymore we're there.
No. So WEC had the 6 hours of Fuji.
Yes.
Which that would be such a cool race to go to.
It would be.
Yeah.
I also would like to see Fuji. So.
Yeah. Same.
So I'm like, two birds, one stone.
Okay. I know. I was looking at the website for like my scuba cruise that I did, and they have a cruise to the British Virgin Islands, which I was like, okay, cool. And then they have two in Indonesia and one in the Philippines.
Mm.
And they're definitely more expensive, but I was like, one of these years, I'm doing that. And one of them is like a huge boat with like private bathrooms. And because the one that I do is...
Right, like
it's basically like it's like camping but on a boat. It's pretty earthy. It's not for everybody.
Sure,
but yeah, they've got two higher level ones. But yeah, but the other fleets are all just the higher level, so they're all super nice and
super yachts.
Yeah, basically. I mean, one of them's like 150 feet long or something. Like, it's huge. Yeah, but yeah, it's beautiful over there. So. I'm about it.
Yeah. No, it's definitely one of the places I want to go.
Oh, definitely.
I also have to, spoiler alert, I have to get my passport this winter so we can go to Toronto.
I need to send in my paperwork to Canada, so it's fine.
Okay. Well, I don't feel as bad.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
All right. That makes me feel a bit better.
Yeah, no. I don't have clearance from the government yet, so you're fine on the passport. You can always expedite it. Trust me. You can get it in under 2 weeks.
Can like walk through up in Detroit. You can do a walk through.
Without a passport?
No. Oh. You can walk your passport through in Detroit.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. I don't want to. I don't really. I just, no thank you. Unless we can tie that into the Detroit race. Drop off the passport, see race, pick up the passport, go home.
Yeah.
I'd like to have it before then, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just.
But the expediting, you get it back pretty quick.
I mean, I'll
if you needed to.
Yeah.
So, all right. But yeah. Okay. WEC. The results, Toyota, let's see, they won both first place and second place.
Yes.
So first place, Kobayashi, Conway, and Lopez. Second place, Alonso, Nakajima, and Buemi.
So Alonso won second. And this was the Fuji that they had to move because I think it was supposed to be this upcoming weekend, which conflicted with the U.S. Grand Prix. So they moved Fuji, so...
Oh, yeah.
Remember, so Alonso can run both.
Yep.
Also, apparently, Kiego Ihara, who we had as our woman of the week back in July? Yeah, before, like, the string of races. She also raced.
Oh, that's awesome.
I wasn't quite sure. It was a weird website to figure out how she did, but she did okay.
That's awesome. That was exciting. That is very cool. Yeah. Good for her.
That's our very long motorsports pit stop, because everybody's in their championship contention, so shit's afoot.
Shit is afoot.
Things are getting squirrely. Everybody else is awesome in their silly season. And I was like, I'm not even going to.
Right.
The Le Mans race, the Petit Le Mans, like the last two or three laps, like whoever was leading it ran out of fuel.
Yeah.
They had to dip in for fuel and everybody was like, what? And I was like,
it was
that's
crazy.
Why endurance races are so much fun to watch.
Yes, because you literally never know what's going to happen.
Right.
Because
you can be like, oh, this guy's going to win in like the last corner, car blows up.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it doesn't blow up.
But yeah.
But something blows up.
Yeah.
A tire.
Engine, done.
The engine just says, and out.
Right. Engine seizes up. Yeah.
Run out of fuel.
Blow a head gasket.
Apparently they tried to pull a Rossi. It did not work out. Worked out for RHR, though. I don't know if he was sure driving did. Or not. But he was like, no. This is what we do.
It's like, no, I drive for Andretti. This is kind of our thing.
This is our deal.
This is our move.
This is our bread and butter move.
Right.
We're gonna nurse that fuel mileage.
Say bread and butter. Say bread and butter ball.
Oh, nice. That's how Ryan has to say it contractually.
Yeah.
Every time he says butter, he has to add ball.
Butter ball.
Oh, it's Thanksgiving. We'll time soon. We'll be seeing butterball turkeys everywhere.
Oh yeah, and I'm gonna have to do something funny, like.
Oh, there's going to be some memes.
Yeah, RHR's face on so many turkeys.
So many turkeys.
Yeah, with his head.
If you cook a turkey for Thanksgiving, print out a picture of Ryan Hunter Ray, put his face on it, and tweet it at us.
Please.
We will retweet it. I think this needs to do... We need to do this.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
Hashtag it.
If you have the best one, we'll mail you a shirt.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. There you go. Oh, God. We just did something. All right. Yeah, I like this. I'm going to write this down.
So hashtag Butterball Ryan. I mean, I don't know. We'll think about the hashtag.
Just start tweeting. Well, we got a little bit.
We got some time. We're going to refine this idea. But yeah.
But heads
whoever
up.
Has the funniest turkey picture with Ryan Hunter Ray, yeah, you get a free shirt. You get a free shirt.
Maybe don't tag. No, you know what? Go ahead and tag both those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, this will be fun.
I'm excited about this.
I am too. And if you're wondering where you can tag us, you can actually do it on any of our social media platforms. We're on Facebook, www.facebook.com/fastcarsfastgirls. Or you can simply search Fast Cars Fast Girls in the search bar of your Facebook page. We're on Instagram at Fast Cars Fast Girls. And we're on Twitter at Fast Cars in 317. We do have a Snapchat that is only active when we are at race weekends.
So you got until January.
Yep. Yeah. Well, no, it'll be active for Lights of the Brickyard. Liquor and Lights.
Liquor
yeah.
And lights.
Lights of the Brickyard. I know I was thinking for the prize for the last thing, like, ooh, maybe we'll give away a pass for Liquor and Lights. And I was like, I don't have that kind of fucking money.
No.
I'm trying to move right now. Those speedy passes are pricey. Which, buy them now, by the way,
yeah.
Because the price goes up.
You can, I need to double check. Can you just buy like a general speedy pass? You have to reserve a speedy pass for like a certain date.
No, you can buy a general.
Okay. Because otherwise I was like, we need to get this planned.
Yeah, no, we really do. Because you went a bunch of times last year and we do need to get it done. But I think we have until November 1st before the first price increase and then it goes up again. But yeah, if we buy them all now, then it doesn't matter when we go. It's all still cheap.
Perfect.
So yeah.
So we will buy all of them.
But yeah. And you can also find everything you need to know on our website, mm-hmm. www.fastcarsfastgirls.com. Obviously, you're listening to us on one of your favorite podcast platforms, but you can find us on all of the other ones.
Yes.
Make sure that you share us with your friends and family, your coworkers, people you hate. We don't really care. We just want the downloads. And if you're listening to us, please give us a like, a rate, and review. We really appreciate it. If you've got any suggestions, things you'd like to hear about in the off season, We want to hear it. There's a place on our website where you can hit contact us, and it'll email us, and you can ask a question or suggest a topic for the show. Just because we did a lot of kind of nitty gritty learning stuff last winter.
We're gonna have a lot of fun with it.
We enjoy that. So if there's something you want to know more about or have questions about, let us know.
We also
enjoy featuring some listener questions, which we've got a great listener question again for this week. So make sure you let us know those as well. And you can do that on any of our social media or on the website.
Actually, we just got one on Instagram.
Oh, we just got another one.
We're not going to answer it today because it's actually going to take some
research. That's creepy. Are they sitting in your bushes?
Well, no, I put something on Instagram that was like, hey, let us know if you have any thoughts. And so somebody sent us something. So.
Excellent.
So it can happen in live time, but we will not answer it in real time unless it's something we can both answer real quickly. But this one,
yes.
I like it. It's going to take some working.
It is.
So stay tuned.
Stay. And it was an excellent, excellent question.
And we asked it on our Facebook page too. And that got a lot of responses.
Sure did. A lot of people really enjoyed this question. I'm enjoying seeing all the answers. So make sure that you jump in and be a part of the fun.
Please do.
It was Donnie from Twitter. There had been some talk about a possible throwback livery race, kind of like how NASCAR does at Darlington. What throwback liveries would you like to see if this were to happen? And the bonus question is, what track should host it?
Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, I think if you're going to do a throwback, it's got to be at an old track. And so for me, it's the IMS. Uh-huh. It's the Indy 500.
You would make that race a throwback? See, I thought more of the GP.
And now, somebody had said the GP, and I enjoyed that because it's like got parts of IMS, but a little different. Well, and also it'd be hard to do a throwback for the Indy 500 because, there's 33 drivers and not all of them are going to have like throwback liveries and things. But
I mean, without,
have the history to like do a throwback of, but. Yeah. It would be cool to see a shit ton of throwback liveries on new cars at the IMS for the Indy 500. Like, I just feel like that would be cool. Like when, for the 100th, when they brought out all the old race cars, it's like, it's just cool at a place with that much history. Like, that's pretty badass. Pocono, I think, would be a great place to do throwbacks.
Pocono would be a good one. Yeah. I was thinking IndyCar GP. The IMS, because it's more of a festival type feeling. And I think it'd be a fun way to kick off May.
It would. And I think it'd generate some more interest in it.
Yeah. I did try and think, well, maybe Bomarito, because it's like a Midwestern hub, so a lot of people could come to it.
Yeah.
Or Kohler, Road America. I feel like that would really feel good. Road America.
Yeah, you could definitely do a throwback at Road America.
I don't know. Something about like, I think it would just fit with the vibe of the whole weekend.
Yeah. Like, I would feel like I would need to dress nicer.
Right? Like, you can almost theme it out. Then at that point, you're like, everybody find your vintage shit. Like,
yeah. Like, I would totally be wearing some cat eye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'd go, like, full. Yes.
Yeah. You'd think I was going to the Kentucky Derby.
Chick would not, though.
No.
No.
No. Not even a little.
No. He would go,
No. But yeah.
What about liveries?
Ooh, now see, that one's hard because there's so many cool older ones.
I couldn't stick to one, so you're fine.
I know. I really couldn't pick a favorite.
Yeah? Well, a couple. I had a couple written down, so that's fine.
I enjoy, I don't remember whose livery it was, but it was the old Marlboro livery.
Yeah, those are always good.
Because
I think Penske did that.
I think it was Penske. And there was one where it's like, that was... It seemed like it was the only sponsor. And what I enjoyed about it is like the car was white with some like red trim and it said Marlboro. And it basically looks like the side of a carton of cigarettes.
Yes.
And so that to me, I know the cigarettes are bad for you.
Is why the cigarette money went away.
Yeah. But yeah, that one I enjoy because it's like they made that car look like their product. And it's really fucking hard to make a race car look like your product. So, really but it's cool. Like, it looks like the side of a carton of cigarettes.
That one's a good one.
Yeah. Which ones do you have?
The STP livery, only because the crew outfit.
God, I love the STP.
That would have to happen. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, you know, if we're going to go like throwback, if somebody can make a livery that somehow harkens back to the old Marmon Wasp.
Yeah.
I'd be here for it. And finally, only we can, well, you'll know why. The Indiana Jones livery.
Damn right.
That Marco drove for a bit. Like, I loved that livery. I also love Harrison Ford, but like that livery was cool. And like his race suit looked like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that was super cool.
That was super cool.
It really was. I don't know that it's been enough for that to be like a throwback.
I know, like it's a vague throwback. Yeah.
Well, although those movies are older. The movies are older than the livery, so I feel like we go with the movie date.
Yeah, I feel like that's what we could do.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. No, that was fun.
If Zach Veach drove it, he would not know. Well, everybody knows who Indiana Jones is, but it would feel more appropriate if a younger driver handled it.
Yeah. Oh
God, Zach Veach is Indiana Jones.
That would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, it would be very funny.
So that was fun.
But yeah, no, the STP is good.
The STP.
Yeah, there's so many like...
I mean, the cigarette ones are always
Pennzoil
good.
Pennzoil ones. Yeah. Like, and even like pre-Alio.
Yeah, like the old school.
Like there's
ones.
Old school 90s ones. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There were so many different sponsors.
That's why, like, I feel like it would be so fun to do.
Except John Menards. He is invested in racing, and I'm invested in his stores.
Hey, I was at Menards getting all of the shit to clean my garage. Okay.
Damn right you were.
I was like, I'm a support Simon. And Menards. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna support our sponsors.
Absolutely.
That's what you gotta do. That's
I love Menards liveries, but only because that yellow is just so obnoxious and I'm so into it.
No, I'm here for
I'm
it.
I'm like a moth it. To a flame. I love it.
Yeah, that's why I also like the bright green fuzzy liveries too. Mm-hmm. Like you can just point there they are. There they are.
Yeah.
There they are. Found it.
Right.
It's like, where's Waldo? There. I have found Simon.
Only it's like, where's Waldo? Where Waldo's already circled. That's the skill level there.
The real where's Waldo is, can you tell the difference between Joseph and Will's car?
Yeah.
No.
Which Silver Verizon car is it?
So that was fun.
I can't tell. Has the driver peed his pants yet?
Is it red or black? I don't know. It's moving too fast.
Oh, so.
So that was our listener question.
That was our listener question. So
let us know. Again, we did post it on our Facebook page, so jump on over.
Yeah, join the conversation.
Ta-da.
There's a lot of good comments on there, a lot of good things going on. All right, next up, our woman of the week.
Yeah, and I did not schedule her to have said stuff when I first put her down as our woman of the week. Like, I cut a few of her little caustic comments, but take a minute and look her up after you guys are done listening to us.
You cut some of her comments?
I did. They just seemed real pointed at Carmen Jorda, and I was like, I'm gonna let the group Google her.
Okay. Fair enough.
Basically, she was like, you're an idiot, and you suck as a driver, and I'm sorry.
I was saying, she started driving a while ago. It's not like she's young and like having a cat fight. No,
no, no.
She's older than us and she's giving her the business.
She's giving. So it's Ellen Lohr.
Ellen Lohr. And that's ELLENLOHR.
Yes.
For those of you who are going to Google.
Yes, please Google her.
Yeah.
So in 1987, which is why we said she's not a young lady in a cat fight. She's a feisty broad in a cat fight.
She is.
She won the German Formula Ford.
Yeah, she did.
So
for
that
her.
Was awesome.
In 1990, she came in second place in the F3 finals in Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
She came in second in the 24 Hours of Nürburgring.
Very nice. I appreciated the pronunciation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've actually been practicing that word, unbeknownst to you. And had I realized it had that, I would have just paused long enough so that you said this next section, but I didn't read past Monaco. But thank you. I've been working on that. DTM in 1992, she won at Hockenheimring, Baden-Württemberg.
Hockenheimring, Baden-Württemberg. You gotta say it quicker. The Germans have no time.
Okay.
Sorry. It's a joke.
That's true.
It's a joke. No, it's a joke. No, keep going. Anyway.
Well, Sarah's in Germany right now.
Yeah.
She loves hearing me attempt to pronounce German things. It really tickles her.
I can imagine.
Let's see. In 1994, she came in third place at Diepholz. I don't know.
Yeah.
Diepholz. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In 1997, here's something that I didn't know existed.
Okay.
She was part of the European Truck Racing Series.
What? There's no hillbillies in Europe.
I know.
They don't have a need for trucks.
I know, but I Googled it. It's real. There was. I don't know how current it is because I just Googled a bunch of all of these facts for her. But yes, the European Truck Racing, third place at Misano.
Now I want to see that series go up against the NASCAR Truck Series.
I do too.
Because that will be a real life Talladega Nights.
Yes.
Yeah.
I need this to happen.
Yeah.
I need this. Oh, I've lost my pen. I need this to happen. So after competing in the European Truck Racing Series.
God.
She then did a few years as a rally driver. She was in 2008, she did the Deutsch Rally at Meissenkraft. And then she also did the Central European Rally. And while you are Googling her, give her a follow on the Twitter. It's at Ellen_Lohr, ELLEN_LOHR. The big significance of Ellen is that she's actually the only woman to have won a DTM race right now.
Good for her.
So that's kind of significant. So this was actually the one quote I kept of her feisty quotes. So this was
it better be a good one.
It's a good one.
All right.
This was when people were discussing, again, the whole need for a male or a female only series because, you know, women just can't compete. She said, "We are talking about a sport in which the boys are 1.6 meters tall, which is approximately 5'2 on the internet, and weigh 55 kilograms or approximately about 121 pounds. These are not types with maximum muscle mass." Which she's true, because
I believe that I have called them jockeys on more than one occasion.
At some point, somebody in the internet meltdown of the W series made a comment that, you know, somebody said, well, women can actually drive better because there's been some studies that show that women withstand G-forces better.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, well, you should tell that to sumo wrestlers because they're bigger and they can do that. And I thought,
girl,
to myself,
I saw that comment and the only thing that stopped me is that I was on our Twitter.
Here's what I'm going to say to people who think that the difference between men and women really is important because men are able to convey larger muscle mass or whatever. I know for a fact I weigh more than Zach Veach and Gabby Chavez and probably a dozen other drivers.
Yeah.
So does that by default mean that I'm a better driver because I have a larger mass than they do?
Yeah, because somebody was like, it was the same sumo dipshit.
Yeah,
he was like E=MC², you know, energy equals, yeah, he legit pulled that out and I couldn't, like, my there was smoke coming out of my ears.
Stopped.
And I was like, this particular equation is irrelevant in this conversation and you're so ignorant of physics that you don't even know it. So I don't have the time to even start and explain to you, like, no, that's so dumb. That's so dumb. I'm like, and also, a body's ability to withstand G-forces has nothing to do with their weight, actually. The amount of G-forces you have, can it vary slightly depending on your weight? Yes.
Here.
Because the mass that you have in the car, with the, you know, your body mass,
yeah,
it does increase the force and the velocity that you're moving.
Yes.
I get that. Sure. So is there going to be a squiggle? Yes. Are you going to go from 4Gs to 7? No. Or is a woman only going to be at 4Gs and you're at 7? No. It's not that, like, it doesn't make that big of a difference.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
I saw that too, and I was just like,
I fucking can't.
I flipped the phone over.
Sometimes I will DM it to my personal account because I'm not done.
I know.
And we both do that.
Yeah.
But it was one of those days where I was like, no.
I don't have the time nor the crayons to explain how wrong you are.
Oh, Jesus, God. But yeah, exactly. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
they're in a sport where they're approximately 5'2", 120 pounds. They're not types of maximum muscle mass.
This is in the NFL. Okay. It's jockeys. You actually have to be smaller and lighter, but yeah, you have to have strength, but you're not running down people in the middle of a field and trying to push them over. Like, it's a whole...
Yeah. Our drivers don't look like fucking linebackers, okay? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that they're race car drivers, that's the only thing that might keep them in Abby's potential dating pool. But of any active paddock, I would say that the size, like, I like tall guys.
Yeah.
And I don't like skinny guys. There's really not a race car driver on the planet that fits the bill.
No.
No.
It's either one or the other, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a yeah.
Or both, or they're neither tall nor well. They're short and skinny. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I don't like skinny and I don't like short. So, yeah.
Oh god.
That's a fantastic quote, though. I love that. These are not types with maximum muscle mass. I mean, really, like Zach Veach is a great driver,
right?
And he's adorable, and I love him. I'd still beat him in arm wrestling. I guarantee that. I might break his fucking arm.
Say what? On accident. Come and snap him like a chicken bone.
Snap him like a chicken bone. Actually, oh my gosh. Now that should be a YouTube series. Zach Veach arm wrestles random people.
Aw, poor Zach. It's all right. He's a good kid.
He is a good kid.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Another quote of hers that I've been in this business for 28 years and really drove anything that has 4 or 6 wheels. And the highest level, that's my biggest achievement.
I liked that. That's a very positive quote.
It is.
She's like, you know what? I've gotten out here. I've done my thing. I've driven a lot of different things. I'm here for it. I was like, I understand that. Yeah. That's true mastery of your craft.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Speaking of masters of the craft.
It's masters of the craft. Born Racer Review.
Oh my goodness. This has been a while coming.
It has been. It has been. So
I don't know where to start. How to start this?
Well, all right. The movie starts out with a black screen.
Sorry, it reminds me of the Parks and Rec episode where the guy loves Twilight. Goes, I will describe it for you now, shot by shot. A deer, and he just starts. I'm
yes,
sorry.
A deer is drinking softly from a brook. Yes,
it starts with a black screen. The announcer in the background. From qualifying in the 2017 Indy 500.
Oh, even before that, actually.
Yeah.
actually, even before that. So, yeah, so black screen and the white letters come across. And it says, we live to race. There is nothing else. Chip Ganassi. And then it goes black again. And then words pop up again. And the next one. And I wrote this down because I enjoy these
quotes
a lot.
No, they were good quotes, yeah.
The next one says, it's a race against your fellow competitors, and you're trying to win, but there's so much more going on. Scott Dixon.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know why I said that. Yeah. It's not a murder mystery.
It's not. So that's how they kind of start out with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I really enjoyed that the producer, Matthew Metcalf, said, you know, because we talked to him, and I heard him say this to other people,
yeah.
And, you know, we were like, you know, what are some things... you know, that you hope the movie gets across and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, when you commit to winning, you commit to losing. He said mm-hmm. something that he's realized through doing this documentary, which he's a fellow Kiwi and he did a documentary on McLaren. And so then he wanted to do one on Scott Dixon. But yeah, he said, when you commit to winning, you commit to losing. And it's how you deal with those losses that mm-hmm. defines the type of competitor you are, the type of racer you are.
I think that kind of speaks to that bigger overture of this movie, which is sort of like this almost duality life. Like you can win or you can, if you commit to winning, you might lose and you will lose.
You will lose. Like you know? When you commit to winning, because you know that you can't win all the time. It cannot be done.
Happen.
You will lose.
And I think it kind of goes then, there's that duality inside of them. We saw the like, almost the two worlds of Scott Dixon colliding.
Yeah.
You know, the racer and then the dad.
The family man.
I mean, the family man and the family, the way that they portrayed the family, it felt voyeuristic at times.
Yes.
Like at one point you're literally the camera. It feels like you're hunched in the back seat of Scott's car while he's on the phone with a kid, like
yeah.
talking to her. And it's great because you get to see, you know, yeah, we put our drivers on this pedestal and we think that they're, you know, super athletes, which they are. And they're almost this sort of immortalizing figures who win these races. And yet, like, he's got to go home and have dinner with his kids and
yeah,
take care of, I'm sure, shit that happens around the house. Like, it was very interesting to see that. And what I also like is it also showed the duality of the team.
Yeah.
Like, there's Scott up front, but then, like, you had huge interviews with all of his... his crew, like the guy who did his tires, the
engineer. I love that.
Like, it wasn't just like
he's. I think the first person you see in the movie.
Yeah, he's like, I've worked with Mario, which at that point I was like, I'm here.
Or no, not the first, but like after the like credits, he's the first. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Mario, Ayrton,
and I was like, well, I'm here for this guy. Let's go.
But yeah, it's very cool, and he calls him Scotty.
Yes.
You know, which I love that. And, you know, and Scott Dixon says in the movie, you know, that he's been with this team for 16 years.
Yeah.
He's known a lot of them longer than he knows some of his best friends, mm-hmm. you know, and that they're a family. And you absolutely are after that much time together.
Oh,
and
certainly.
What's interesting is that Chip Ganassi basically said the same thing to us when we talked to him at the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, because he said something about, you know, being, you know, them, that they're a team and this and that. And I said, you know, it's interesting. I said, what I enjoy about this team is that even though Scott is, you know, like a, you know, this superstar, that he very much appreciates his team, recognizes his team, and doesn't ever act, you know, he's not ever showboating or anything mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
And Chip actually just laughed and he was like, see, you guys think of him as a superstar and to us, he's just Scott. Like, we're just family. He's just Scott.
It's just Scott.
And I was like, I love that. That they have a very, you know, kind of a family kind of a feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it picks up, and that's one of the things I really enjoyed about the movie.
Yeah. And yeah, the intertwine of his professional life with his personal life, and
it's almost like jarring jump cuts too. Like it talks about the crash during the 500 and like there's the crash and then it's like old home movies and then it's back to the crash and then it's his kids. And you're like, it's like this sudden overwhelming feeling of this is what his life is like.
Well, and I think that I agree. And I think that Matthew Metcalf did a really good job of how they cut those shots together, you know, because even Emma says at one point that they try to live in the moment because mm-hmm. they know that it's life or death. There's Tony Kanaan, you know, he speaks in the movie and he says, you know, you never know when you enter a race if you're going to leave in one piece or with your life.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know. And one of the things that Emma said over and over again was that, you know, she every race, she just hopes it's not her turn.
Yeah.
Cause she's had two very good friends lose their husbands and in races. And so, you know, every race, she just hopes it's not her turn. And so they very much live in the moment. And when you're a race car driver, you can't dwell. You can't mm-hmm. dwell in the past. You make a mistake. Okay. We're not going to do that in the future. We move on. We move forward. We push past.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that it very much showed kind of how his brain has to work.
Yeah.
Just back, you know, back and forth, two just very different
switching on and off. And it was interesting.
Very interesting. Well, and I'll say, and I told you this already, but was interesting to me because after his crash,
mm-hmm.
after they showed the big crash of the 2017 Indy 500, they showed Emma and one of their daughters. And, you know, and so Emma was saying, you know, like that it was scary and she's glad that he's okay. And then she kind of goes into like, then she just moves right past and she's like, you know, oh, we had such a good car. It was mm-hmm. a really fast car. We could have won this and that. And her daughter is still upset.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, and she's like, but daddy's okay. And it was like, yes, yep, you're right. Like, yeah, dad's okay. Like, that's the most important part, this and that. You know, it's like for a minute, Emma was like, okay, that's right. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I love that. This, she's like, she doesn't want to, you know,
sure,
just like push her along. Like, yes, right. Like you can feel this. Yep, dad's okay. You know, Emma's moving along because that's how their lives go. But yeah. And so, but to me, like my dad was a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember feeling like that. Of like hoping that my dad was okay, like when he would be undercover and he wouldn't come home. And it's like, I can't call him. I don't know. You know, it's kind of the same thing when you talk about, you know, the back and forth. I'm like, he was this badass police officer, but then he came home and was the tickle monster. And so I was actually thinking about this earlier today is that, you know, there's a lot of similarities in both of those jobs.
Yeah.
Like you put your lives on the line.
Definitely.
And I think there's a lot of similarities in that, like, you know, duality of, you know, you're one person when you're at work and you're a completely different person when you're home.
Yeah.
And to be able to like peek into that and see that.
It was.
Yeah.
So good.
It was so good. And what's amazing to me is how well Scott does at both roles.
Yes.
Like he's a really good dad. All of the scenes with the girls and with him and Emma and, you know, like they're just adorable. Yeah. I mean, everybody loves the Dixons. They're adorable.
Right.
And he's obviously an extremely skilled driver as well.
And I think that's also it. Again, it made him more human, but at the same time, seeing him with his family like that, you're like, man, it almost kind of elevated him even more because that's hard to do.
Yeah.
And he is. It's Scott. We've talked to Scott. We've talked to Emma before. Yeah. They just, you know, you just get the feeling that A, there's so much love between the two of them. And oh, B, yeah. I feel like they would become bears if somebody came at their girls.
Oh, yeah.
Which like it endears you to them even like you couldn't be endeared to them before.
Yeah. Like if at you this didn't,
point, you're like, ugh, God
you're
damn it.
All in. Scott. Even if you only like Scott a little bit, you're almost all in.
You're like, well, movie. I'm done.
Yep.
I'm a Scott Dixon fan now.
So, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I, yeah.
I mean, I will say people have kind of asked us about what level of child should watch it. There's some curse words.
There are. Yep.
Scott drops a few. And I think one of her favorites is that Mike Hall just is like, okay, keeps on doing my thing.
Yeah. What was it that Scott said?
I can't. He said, it's like your job to fucking tell me we're in this shit. Da, da, da.
Yeah. He was like, that's your fucking job is to tell me we're in the shit. And he's like, he's pretty pissed, which he really doesn't yell at Mike very often.
No.
I mean, they've worked together for the entire time that Scott's been with Chip Ganassi. And Mike just doesn't even react. He's just, okay.
My favorite. And then like later, Scott's like, man, I'm sorry. And Mike's like, Mike A has already moved past it.
Mike didn't care when you said it.
Yeah, and he was like, it's fine.
Right.
So next race.
Yeah, he's
we're
like,
we're going to do this.
Yeah, like it's, yeah, I love that. Yeah.
That, I mean, we okay. already have a big appreciation for Mike, but after watching this, like, that's why we call him Yoda now.
Because mm-hmm.
he also drops a few more bombs in that movie. We're just like, damn it, Mike Hall.
Yeah, he's totally Yoda.
He's Yoda.
I'll tell you what else. Chip Ganassi. So much fun.
I didn't realize how much I loved Chip Ganassi.
And the scene in the movie where it was the Detroit race. And it was right after the 2017 8500 with the nasty Scott Dixon crash. And he's talking about different things. And he says, he was like, well, if Evel Knievel over there can keep it on the track.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, he's great. And we enjoyed talking with him at the premiere. Like,
he was very fun.
Such a cool guy. Such a cool guy.
Very cool. Although I will say this, like, he is, he also goes into a race mode.
Oh, yeah.
Chip on the track is very different, I think, than Chip anywhere else.
I believe you're right.
And this was also in the beginning of the movie, but I enjoyed it because it starts out with this intensity of race day is mm-hmm. how it kind of starts out. And then it like backs off into family and things. And yeah, but he starts out and I think it was for the 500. And he's like, between now and the checkered flag, I'd like everybody to focus on one thing and one thing only. Winning this race. Mm-hmm. Put everything else out of your mind. Everything we have to do to win this race today.
Yeah.
And it's like he, like when he says, I like winners, like, no, he's
serious.
That's no bullshit. No. Like, he's like, I want everyone to focus on one thing and one thing only.
Yeah. And what I think, like, the next race, the Detroit race, we're like, well, we can't win Indy. What's the focus? And they're all like, winning the championship.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, we didn't win Indy. We got to focus on the championship.
Right? Like, let's make it happen.
All right, next goal. Like, that didn't happen. All right, decision tree. Okay, B, we got to win the championship.
Yep. All right. Would have been great if it did, but it didn't. Yep. Moving on.
All right, and next.
yeah, Mike Hull drops some just knowledge bombs in there.
He's an amazing person.
He really is. I love him.
I will, because when we watched it with a group of people, we did not warn them. So this is definitely
okay. Yeah. So if you're listening and you like want to be surprised by anything,
first of all, you shouldn't have been listening. Well,
yeah. But if you want to have any surprises left, then
skip ahead.
Skip ahead
a little bit. Look at the time on the on the episode notes, you'll know when to.
Yeah, Molly will let you
hit back over.
If you are somebody who needs a warning before something, then you should keep listening.
Yeah.
Because they do show.
They do.
The crash from Vegas, and they talk about Dan Weldon's death.
Very, very openly and very raw.
Very raw.
And we talked about it, and I think we're both in agreement. It fit.
Yes, it absolutely did. 'Cause one of the things, you know, Emma said, you know, that she wants to talk about the like life and death risks more, but she doesn't, 'cause she doesn't want to put those thoughts in Dan's or in Scott's head.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just that, you know, how she kept saying like, I just hope that today's not my turn and this and that. And, mm-hmm. you know, talking about the life and death aspect of it, it did fit.
It did.
And also part of this movie was kind of showing the humanity of our drivers, yes. because they are still just people.
Yeah.
And, I think Emma says that it's the only time that she's seen Scott cry is when Dan died.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, I mean, very close friends with Susie and Dan.
Oh, yeah. I
mean, they went to his hotel.
Yeah.
Like to the Weldon's hotel room. Like they moved out and stayed with them,
mm-hmm.
with that family for a couple months after Dan died. Like they're just,
I mean, it's
they're just quality human beings. Well, like yeah. that's, yeah. And I mean, but yeah, it's so raw. I mean, you see
it.
You see multiple drivers, footage that I have never seen before.
We were with a group of people who would have seen footage if that footage existed. And there were, most people were like, I've never seen that angle. Yeah.
And it was because it was multiple IndyCar drivers openly sobbing. Mm-hmm. I mean, not even crying, like sobbing. You see Dario sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
You see Tony Kanaan.
Just
sobbing,
losing. Yeah,
uncontrollably,
I mean,
and Lauren.
Yeah,
yeah. It was very. It's very raw.
It's very raw, but as we talked about, I think it needed to be there. As weird as that
sounds, it did. And I feel like we as fans have all, you know, talked about how we dealt with it and this and that, but you know, we didn't ever really see, you know, the drivers dealing with it. And so it does humanize them in a way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think sometimes we as fans get kind of flippant or forgetful that it is life and death.
These are,
you know,
people.
It's like we want to bitch about, well, I don't like this with the car. I want him to go faster. I want this. And it's like, well, you know, you can't have everything you want. And if we rush things and we make bad decisions, this is what happens. And so, and to also remind us that they are still people.
They're still people. And I think something that we sometimes forget is how close all of these drivers are.
They are so,
I mean,
close.
There's 33 at Indy, but there's maybe, you know, 15 to 20 to every other race. And you just see these people every day.
Yeah.
It's like the people you work with.
Yeah.
It's like the people who sit in the cubicles next to you. That you've worked with for years too.
For
like
years.
You've come up
you
with
spent
them.
A lot of time with them. I mean, yeah, it's like a second family.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you have these rivalries, if you're on opposing teams, like you're all still in it together.
Yeah. And it's a good scene. And I don't mean that in like what happened was good, but the scene.
Yeah.
It's one of those moments where like watching it again by myself, I had to kind of stop and kind of just like rewatch it to take everything in.
Yeah. There's a lot. Yeah.
Because it's a good scene.
It is.
So.
It is. No, the producer did an excellent job.
Yeah.
I can't remember who he told me was in charge of the music. I think his name was Sean.
Yeah.
But anyhow, but the music was
also top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did an excellent job, which music can make or break a movie.
I mean, we both know that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said it that way, but
because we're fucking music snobs.
And yeah, like not like we score movies, but I'm a hardcore judgy on your music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say it.
but yeah, so, and it was good. And I, you know, and they ended because it talked about his 2017 season and he did not win the championship.
I guess not a spoiler alert.
Yeah, not a spoiler alert. But obviously he did win the 2018.
Yeah.
Although when we watched it in the theater, they had tacked on a thing at the end that says, you know, like that he was the 2018 champion. And they did not do that with the movies that you could buy, which is funny to me.
Which I was like, okay.
Which is hilarious because I asked Chip Ganassi what his favorite part was, and he said the part at the end.
He was like, at the end. And then he would like smile and walked away. And we were both like, what?
We were like, oh, now we can't wait to see the end. Ah, and Chip. It was that little thing. And then it's not in the rest of the movie. You coy motherfucker.
Damn it, Chip. Chip.
Chip.
Anyway.
Chip. But yeah, he was a fun guy.
He was. So watch it. Let us know what you think.
And you get to see lots of footage of Scott when he's young.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You get to see him go-karting. You get to see videos. And I love the video where they ask him like, you know, do you want to be in Formula, blah, blah. He's like, and he's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go up to Ford and do this. He's like, and then I don't know, maybe IndyCar or something.
Maybe IndyCar or something. And then they're like, cut to Scott Dixon, IndyCar driver.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, damn right you wanted to be an IndyCar driver.
Scott, hell yeah. Yes. Like, everybody in the audience is like, woo, Scott.
Yeah. Thank you for not saying Formula.
Yes.
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 So you know his parents raised him right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. He's got good parents.
He does. You see them in the movie too.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a good movie.
It's okay. You should get it. You should watch it. You should let us know what you think.
Yeah. In fact, we'll probably throw up a listener or well, not a listener question, but
like a thread,
an interaction. Yeah. A thread. Yeah. Throw up a post. Yeah. For comments on the Born Racer.
There you go. Yeah. It's a thread. It's time for
shit. We didn't make up
all about the man, the myth, the legend, Scott Dixon.
So his record as a driver thus far. So, in 1999, he tested with lights at Sebring, broke the track record.
Hell yeah.
Broke it! Broke it like Kim Kardashian broke the internet.
He did. In 2001, it was his, Nazareth Speedway was his first win, and that was during the kart, but I felt that was important to put there. It was also his first race.
Ooh, first race he pulling was like, out ta-da. A dub.
Yeah.
Shazam, motherfuckers!
Scott Dixon!
2003, first season with IndyCar, and he won the season opener at Homestead.
I believe he also won the championship that year. He won the championship in 2003. Yeah, I looked sure down, did. I was like, he did win it. Yeah,
he sure did.
Yeah, because he's currently a 5-time series championship winner, 2003, 2008, 2013, 2015, and oh yeah, 2018.
Damn right. Let's talk about that man coming in. I mean, I know he had been running kart, but you know,
like he just show up and be like, "So I'm gonna win this championship this season. You guys are cool with that because that's happening."
Yeah, like winning my first race. I'm winning the championship. I'm taking this. I'm taking this. I'm taking this.
I'm taking this.
Right. Oh, hilarious. Well, he has only won the Indy 500 one time though.
I know.
I think he really would have won in 2017 had he not gotten in that crash.
Well,
his car was super fucking fast.
Super fast. I remember being there for qual.
Yeah.
Watching that.
Yeah. 20-year-old record. Like,
just gone.
Or, well, it didn't break the record, but it was the fastest speed in 20 years. Yeah. Like, yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only Indy 500 he ever won was in 2008.
He's pulled a few times, though.
He has pulled a few times.
So I feel like that's okay.
Yeah.
So overall in IndyCar, and since 2003, he's had 14 road course wins, 5 street course wins, and 19 oval wins.
Oh. Well, I guess we really can't call Ed Carpenter or Will Power the oval master.
I don't know what those two are as far as oval. I did not look up anybody else's.
I know.
But,
But I'm just trying to provoke somebody.
Is it sub podcasting? I don't know. There's some tweet.
I'm like sub tweeting. Yeah. It's
you're
like
sub
podcasting. Yeah.
Sub podcasting. Oh, God.
But yeah, interesting. And that's just since 2003.
That's just 2003.
In our other series, well, not ours, but in other series. So the Rolex Sports Car Series, Le Mans, in 2016, he was third in the GTE Pro class.
Mm hmm.
2006, he was the overall winner at the Daytona 24 in the Daytona Prototype. In 2015, he was the overall winner at Daytona 24 in the Prototype. In 2018, he was the winner of the GTLM class at Daytona 24.
I remember being there watching.
We sure were.
We sure were. He's also been awarded the Member of the New Zealand Order for Merit, and he's been New Zealand Sportsman of the Year in 2008 and 2013.
I wonder if he gets it again this year.
Perhaps he does.
He might. He might.
He might.
American Championship Cars. He is the third winningest driver with 44 wins, mm-hmm. behind only AJ Foyt and Mario Andretti.
I love that.
That was just for you.
I know. I like that it's like the stat said like only behind. And I was like, I mean, you don't even need to add only. You just need to be like, there's AJ, there's Mario, and then there's Scott. Like, you're just like, what?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think...
That's pretty good company to be in.
I believe some might call that rarefied air.
Yeah.
If you will.
I think some might also call that... That big dick energy.
Stop it.
I didn't know how I was going to get those three words on this podcast this week. But as soon as I saw them last week, I was like, I'm working these in.
This is my phrase for the podcast.
Sometimes I keep things from you.
That's okay.
But yeah, Scott Dixon 100% has big dick energy.
But for real.
No, I'm just saying. And he's the third behind AJ and Mario. Like I mean, really? Yeah, like that's, yeah. Just walk around like, I'm the best there ever was, plain and simple. I mean,
I wake up in the morning.
He's the third best there ever was, and I piss as of now.
Excellence.
Piss excellence, yeah. Yeah,
of now, he's not done. Like, that's he's not the biggest done. Part about this.
Yeah.
Like, thus far, like, he gonna be around for a couple more
and
seasons.
And AJ's the only person who's won more series championships than him. Mm-hmm. And only by two.
Only by two. I mean, you never know.
I mean, Scott's got his work cut out for him if he wants to be a multi Indy 500 winner.
Yeah, Scott's gonna have to.
It's been a while, but otherwise, I mean, but honestly, you know what? That again, Mario Andretti only won once, mm-hmm. and he barely pulled that off. I mean, that track is a fickle bitch. We've discussed that.
Look, sometimes she wants you to win, and sometimes she thinks not today.
So, yeah,
it is not your time.
Yeah, some days it's like, yeah, maybe I'm going to mix things up and not take my meds today. Like, exactly. You just never know. That was the Rossi year. Like, let
the
me just.
The track is bipolar and it's off its lithium.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
You never know.
I will let a rookie win this year on fuel strategy.
Tell me this race isn't about fuel strategy.
Riddle me this.
Oh, but yeah.
Amazing man.
Lots of cool facts about Scott Dixon.
Lots of cool facts about Scott Dixon.
Yeah.
Also Emma too, but I didn't put her.
She's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, she was an Olympic level runner. Like, okay.
Yeah. Also a badass in her own right.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, whoever she made a deal with to look that pretty, I would like to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Emma. Absolutely. Oh, Susie Weldon was at the premiere, by the way.
She was, yeah.
I can't remember if we mentioned that.
I don't think we mentioned it on this, but we've talked about it.
Yeah. But yeah, Susie Weldon was at the premiere because she and Emma Dixon are still very close friends. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool.
All right. I think we need a white flag.
I think we do.
What you got for me?
Well, one of the quotes of a driver that night was Tony Kanaan. Mm-hmm. And I asked him what his favorite thing about the last year had been over the last season, like what his favorite thing was. And he said getting to talk to AJ every day.
That's pretty cool.
And I thought from Tony Kanaan, who
is good in his own right,
is a hell of a driver. I mean, and is a like home. He's not even a hometown hero. He's just a hometown favorite. Like, Indianapolis loves Tony Kanaan.
Truth.
Indianapolis goes apeshit for Tony Kanaan.
Yes.
And I'm here for it. I love Tony Kanaan. Yeah, yeah. And he's got a hell of a career and all this experience and all this knowledge and everything. And to him, the coolest thing of the last year was that he got to talk to AJ Foyt every day. I just, like, that. I was like, that's awesome. Yeah, that would be cool as shit.
That would be cool as shit.
Even with all your experience, you're like, yeah. But this fucking guy?
But this guy? This guy.
This guy. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And his wife was super fun and funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was very fun to talk to. What about you? What's your white flag?
It's tire testing on Wednesday.
Is it for real or are we just like, no?
It's actually tire testing.
I guarantee I get no. a text from Mary Pat.
That's why I
unless she listens to this before the tire testing starts.
Well, it drops on Wednesday.
Mm.
So while you're listening to this, if you're in Speedway and you hear the faint sound of cars,
it's tire testing.
Why, yes, they are tire testing. And why, yes, I am going to be there.
Yeah, I, well, actually, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. It could go either way for me at this point. I do not have a 2:00 appointment yet.
We will let the gods decide.
Fingers crossed.
Nobody get a need to go to your hospital.
Yeah, no.
As listeners, let's all do that, okay?
All right, let's checkered flag.
Let's wave that checkered flag. Thanks for listening.
Bye.